In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshay, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tides on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station. Ain't no
As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James D. and D. Shay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear. Just a thought, January 30th, 2017. I am a Democrat. I will be a Democrat beyond the existence of my physical being. I am a liberal because living in the past does not work for those that I serve. I believe in liberal causes because as I better understand the world, I understand the need for change. I live to honor humanity, to serve people who seem unable to grasp the life we should all have. I see the inequity of treatment and desire to see it abolished. The need for the blind to see has never been more necessary. Those who fight for the status quo cling to an era that turns the invisible visible. Embracing wrong can never give one a positive result. The fight for the weak can never be seen as embracing the defeat. We have to rectify the issues that are created by the human trait of racism and supremacy. My God is the creator of all things and the maker of humanity. My view of the world is in line with my purpose as a Democrat. I will not be ashamed of my love for people and the fight to make life equal. We all deserve better opportunities to learn and the chance to live life free of infirmities. We deserve to live free of the creation of Donald Trump. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. The show is brought to you 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, you know, I'm always happy and pleased to be here with you, looking forward to the opportunity for us to share information and give our opinions to the world related to what it is that we truly believe in, and trying to galvanize ourselves in a way that we can help to guide our country in the right direction. I want to take a short break here while I wait for everyone to get on the line so that we can continue our conversation and get a good understanding of on this particular issue. Together, This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, guys, there are some atrocities that we really believe that we would never relive. And the fact is that it seems as time moves forward that some of these stories are being relived on a daily basis throughout the United States. There are things that are happening to people that shouldn't be happening. There are things that people who disbelieve who the American dream belongs to are deciding that they have the right to step out and cross lines that should not be crossed by law-abiding citizens. And I want to talk to you about those things today because we have to keep things in perspective. We have to be willing and able to recognize when those people on the fringes are being led and guided to do things that at one point had not been, not existed. But now we find ourselves being inundated by it. When the Trayvon Martin incident happened in Florida, we honestly believe that Trayvon was wrongfully killed for just going to the store and getting a soda and some Skittles and walking home. And then someone outside of himself imposed his beliefs onto Trayvon, making him a criminal and then stalking him in a criminal fashion. Well, all across America, we have people of color being victimized by others who don't recognize people of color as Americans and therefore imposing their thoughts on them and creating violent situations that need not result. And so today I just want to talk overall how African-Americans find themselves in situations, African-Americans and others find themselves in situations they did not create. But then a violent outcome is the result. And we have to figure out how we can neutralize this behavior that is mostly done by white Americans. How can we help them change their behavior and their attitude so that they don't bring the most violent of behaviors to situations that don't require it? And we, if we cannot find solutions to limiting this behavior, then we're going to continue to see people of color being victimized and taken advantage of because they're not seen as human beings. We have to find a way to get a better result from the confrontations that happen between white Americans and unarmed African Americans or people of color so that both parties can go home and continue their existence without one party seemingly always end up in the hospital or underground. These are the kinds of behaviors that are being displayed and created throughout America because of the way white Americans see people of color. And we have to find a way to lower these kind of situations so that we can live our lives in peace and in harmony. I'm going to take a break again and continue to give people opportunities to call in.
sphere, can true love fail? Then I would miss the child of wish, and haven't I sung to you of the knight in armor bright, faithful and true to you, darling? After all, I will be the one to hold you in my
opportunity to talk to someone like yourself, and the reason for that is because I wanted to share with you something that was really heartbreaking, and the reason is because you and I both know that there seems to be times when white America gets away with things that are just clearly over the line when it comes to African America. And we find ourselves, you know, and that's when you really start thinking that life is unfair, and that though we may choose to take the better road, it is unfair that there is a segment of our society that can overstep their bounds and then have a different result. And there's a story coming out of Texas where a gentleman was inebriated, and he sought to relieve himself between parked cars. And you and I both know that there have been times as men when we caught ourselves in situations where we had to relieve ourselves and couldn't hold it, and especially when you're drunk, you're more apt to not be able to hold it, and you may relieve yourself and try to hide yourself so that you don't disturb others, but you have to get, to let your water go. And this particular situation, this Hispanic man, was accosted by a white gentleman who was a husband of a police officer. And as he escalated the confrontation between him and this Hispanic man, I guess the Hispanic man took a swing at him, and he started to beat the man unmercifully. And at some point, started choking the man. And when his wife came on the scene, the two of them handcuffed the man, and then at some point she realized he wasn't breathing and started to try to resuscitate him. The husband was not put in custody. So what alarms me about this is this. Even if a inebriated man instigates a confrontation, you can't then beat somebody unmercifully because they were the first one to take a swing at you. And you can't then beat them to the point that they go unconscious and then not be held accountable. This white American wasn't taken into custody. He did not spend the night in jail. He is home with his family, and the Hispanic family is making arrangements for their loved one to be buried just because he chose to relieve himself outside of Denny's. They stopped at Denny's for dinner. So in America, it is important that you have to act reasonably. And nowhere in the world is it reasonable to beat a liberated man to the point that he is brain dead. And this brings back the same situation as Trayvon Martin, where Mr. Zimmerman took it upon himself to be police, judge, and jury and executioner. And you and I both know that minorities are always asked, are told, in those certain terms, that they will not be given a pass for doing things that may cause the death of another. And I can almost guarantee you, had the man who had killed a white guy, he would have been in jail overnight waiting to be prosecuted. So what are your thoughts on that, D?
Well, James, I just want to say, man, I ran across the information that you talked about Thursday, I believe it was, about the alt-right movement and how they're stepping up their game. And I got to tell you, man, that it's real disturbing. It's real disturbing. I ran across some articles, and I guess it was the same article that prompted your show in the first place, that topic, about the alt knights, which seems to be a spinoff of the alt-right movement, this white supremacists. And the most disturbing part that I found was how they are on Facebook and private channels stoking a fire to be at certain points wherever their protests being held. They are the anti-protesters. Now, that being said, you got to believe that there are spinoffs of this movement in your community. Even down here in the South, and you asked me at that time, do we expect tensions or more visibility in southern regions? And there are more visibility. You see more Confederate jackets, more Confederate belts, buckles, women as well as men walking around with sidearms. And in that, they have taken on a new posture of a new posture of courage, if you will, and they are looking to antagonize. That's something that we got to be prepared for. We always talk about being prepared and ready. They're looking for reasons in a situation to antagonize a situation to a confrontation, and in that, that will give them the leeway to pull out the knives, because now I see them walking around with long hunting knives as well as weapons on the belt straps. And so that will give them a reason to take out the hunting knives and stick one in you, because you all are into a fist fight. Now, you got to know that a lot of the persons that they initiating fights with, they are not as physical equipped to go toe-to-toe. So you got to think, I think, my theory is that they will be in a situation fighting until it seems like they're about to get the lower hand, and then at that point they'll pull their weapon and stick one in your squeeze off a shot on you. And that's the way I see it. It's a new movement.
And that's a sad situation when you got people walking around using these laws to protect them from their aggressive behavior. You know, you sit and you start a fight with someone, believe that you're on the losing end, and then you pull a weapon and call it self-defense. Or if they took a swing at you, decide that you're in your right to kill them, and suggest that it was a battle and you had to do what you had to do. Understanding that, how is it fair once you have controlled the situation and kept the person from hurting you for you to continue it to the death of the individual? So, Regina, we're talking about situations where white Americans seem to continue to get themselves involved in these fights, kill the person of color, and then hide behind self-defense. This happened in Texas, and it is following the Trayvon Martin situation. And just like Dee said, you got the mentality, you got some of these people who are hiding behind this stand your ground law and using it as a reason to take their aggressions out on people of color and not be sent to jail. Did you hear about the article, the situation in Texas about the man going to Denny's with his family and ending up dead because he sought to relieve himself in the parking lot?
No, I didn't. I'm here. No, I did not hear. I didn't hear about that that situation.
Well, I sent it out to everybody, and I wanted everybody to recognize that again. Dee and I are here, and I know that I have been around or myself found myself in situations where I may have believed that I could not get to a restroom soon enough and had to relieve myself behind a tree or something of that nature. And that in and of itself should not be a death sentence. For someone to be so angered by what you did as though to start beating you to the point of unconsciousness. And that's what took place at this Denny's, where these two families were going to have a meal. One man was inebriated and chose to relieve himself in the parking lot, and the white gentleman, who was the husband of a police officer, chose to get angered by it and then beat the man to the point of unconsciousness. He did not spend a day in jail.
Well, James, I really don't think that he had the right to, of course, he didn't have the right to approach this man if he was in a state of disgust by what occurred. Then yes, he has a right to his feelings, but he did not have a right to assault this man. But what I am seeing, as Dee said, I'm seeing it all around, and you know, I have to say that all of this is really new to me, because I was raised up in an era where civil rights, you know, I was raised up right after the civil rights marches, and in a time when African Americans in my community would dare someone to mistreat them. So for things to be happening the way I see them happening now, I'm sort of, I don't want to say scared, but I'm sort of scared, yes, about what is what's going on in our communities and how people can just walk up to people of other ethnicities and treat them any kind of way. And we of other ethnicities are afraid to say what is, you know, what is right, or to not, I don't want to say stand our ground, but we're afraid to say that we have rights. This is making me really, really nervous at this time.
And what angered me more is I listened to the videotape of the Hispanic chief, and he refused to call the Hispanic man who died a victim. He refused to call the aggressor a person of interest or a criminal. And so when you have people begging you, the wife of this man was begging him to stop beating her husband, begging him to get up, and he refused. You cannot call it self-defense when you're beating a harmless man. And then for the police not to take you into custody and allow you to go home and say they're going to do an investigation, I'm just saying, D, we don't get the luxury of going home. They make a determination that we are the assaulter, we're going to jail, and we're going to stay in jail till we make bond or we're convicted. And how is it fair that a white Americans get to go home after doing these kind of atrocities and to get to live with their families until the state attorney makes a determination of whether or not what they did was criminal? There seems to be clearly an injustice of how differently people are being handled.
But, James,
see?
Who do we have?
Go ahead, Regina.
What organization do we have to stand up and to help make these atrocities known? Now, I will say, and I am so happy, and I'm really sad and upset with myself, that I'm not going to the NAACP National Convention this year, but I'm understanding that because a whole new approach, an approach of education and advocacy, that we're going back to where we're going to be standing up for our rights. We've become very passive. So who does this Spanish family have to stand up for them? The National Advancement National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, would have at one time taken a stand for this family.
Well, they did have protests by the police department, and she is demanding justice. So there are locally, they have people who are banding together to fight. But the issue becomes, again, the inequality of the way that people are being treated. Dee, again, I'm asking, had a black man beat a white man to the point that he was unconscious or was not breathing, he would be in the back of a police car being taken to jail, and he would they would then determine whether or not he was culpable. But here, again, you got a white gentleman after beating this man, after being told to stop and begged to stop by a number of different people, refused to stop, and who continued his assault to the point of this man being unconscious and not breathing, but he got to go home. And they have to determine whether or not he is responsible. See, these are the inadequacies of the law and the different ways whites and people of color are being treated that we have to argue and demand that things be changed. So, Dee, what is your thought about how this consistently keeps happening?
Hello, Ms. Regina. It's nice to hear your voice. James, I got to be totally honest with you. And Ms. Regina, I got to be totally honest with you. What I'm about to say is not going to be popular, but I believe it's the truth, and it's something to be seen. I think what we're witnessing now is the new abnormal. I think that it's going to get worse before it gets better. It all attributes to the new administration in the White House. Going back to the campaign with the rallies that he had, and you know those rallies was flowing over with people, and he has set the new stage. This is the militia that we've always heard about, the Minutemen that we've always heard about in our history books. They are presently unveiling themselves. I was looking in the article that I was speaking about earlier about the alt knights, like the alternative knights, and it consists of ex-military men. It consists of former and current police officers. And if you know that, if you know law enforcement are doing this on the side and involving themselves on this on the side, then you got to think that prosecutors are under the covers. You got to think that there are some judges, especially in urban areas, that are participating in this movement. And again, they are out in force. It's a time now where you got to be careful even going out, as sad as that may sound. You got to be careful about going out. If you're going to Denny's, you're going to Applebee's, you got to almost wonder that if somebody not in your particular party is also dining in this restaurant and they are a little bit loud or some kind of obnoxious in a way, yeah, the militia is going to step to them because they're going to want to try to correct things. They have this mantra now that they said, and in this article that I read, that they are tired of political correctness. They're tired of that. So, James, when you say we are going back into a time where we have to fight for our rights again, I think that that's where we're headed in the times such as those.
Joyce, how do we defend ourselves when it seems that white America has so many people on their side? They got the law on their side. They got the judges on their side. I mean, how do we defend ourselves against them carrying out these assaults against us And then the police saying, well, we have to wait to see, do an investigation. It is not normal for an investigation to happen when someone beats another person to death. Normally, that person is immediately taken into custody, and then they determine whether or not he should be tried. Why are white Americans being allowed to go home after they beat somebody to the point of unconscious? Now you're letting the police get away with it. Now the regular citizens can get away with it.
Well, it's mostly like what Dee said. What we're looking at is what they call the new 60s. It's just deja vu all over again. So I think what is going to be needed really is that it's going to force us blacks and minorities to take a look at what is going on, and it's going to force us to come together as one. We cannot do it individually. You cannot. It's not going to happen that way. Because what you're looking at is the force of all these people and all these organizations that you name, by legal judges, attorneys, policemen, all of those. So they're working in groups and organizations, and that's what's going to have to happen to us, the minorities. We need our wake-up call for us to come together. Speaking out, yes, but in order to take action and to do a reform, to come to a conclusion, we're going to have to regroup and we're going to have to come together as a unit and work just like they did in the 60s. You know, organizations and people started taking notice. They started joining forces, you know, and this is what I think is going to need to be done. And like Dee say, it's getting scary even to step outside your door because you really don't know what you're going to be confronted with. And you got to be on guard. And it's a shame that we have to live in that type of environment. But LeBron James, if he brought it to the forefront to let you know that even in his status, and I'm so glad that he did that because a lot of our young people can relate to him. So therefore now maybe just by him speaking out, then it's our wake-up call that we need to come together as a unit and do something. Thank you.
Kathy, now we find ourselves not being assaulted by the police department, people who are supposed to protect us, but now common citizens taking it upon themselves to assault people of color and to make a decision to be the police, the lawyers, the judge, and the jury, and kill a man for urinating in the parking lot when he happened to be inebriated. I mean, the man was drunk, you know, and could barely defend himself and was beaten to the point that he could not recover, and they allowed the white American to go home. At what point do we look at fairness, Kathy?
When we go in the voting room. Good afternoon, everybody. When we go inside of the voting room, when we talk to our family and friends and relatives and tell them how important it is that we need to get up and go vote, even if we have to go and pick somebody up. I mean, we're allowing these people to get into office, and then when things happen, we want change, but then we won't get up and vote. You know, we're very vocal people where we can say, you know, what it is we want, but we have to get up and vote. We have to make our voices count inside of the voting room in order so that we can see a change. And that's sad what happened to that guy, but the only way that it's going to change is we have to come together and we have to begin to vote. We have to research these people that we're putting in office, and then we have to vote. We have to go and put our signature on the line so that we can see a change and then come together, you know, to try to make a change. It's sad.
And what was even more heartbreaking, when the sheriff was being questioned about this white man's involvement, he refused to call him a person of interest. He refused to call what he did criminal. He did everything he could to minimize his participation. As a citizen, it is not my job to impose laws in the community. I'm not supposed to go up to somebody who's inebriated and chastise him about being drunk in public. I need to call the police and let them know that there's somebody drunk in public who's urinating in public, but it is not my right to accost that person and then to take action that ends up with that person being dead and then me not being held accountable. Regina, I mean, how couldn't anybody suggest that an liberated person could have possibly defended himself when everybody there is in agreement that he was drunk and unable to defend himself? Are you there, Regina?
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were directing that to me. I'm sorry.
It just seems truly unfair that this man continued to assault this man beyond the man's ability to protect himself, and then he gets to walk away as no harm, no foul, and then the chief of police or the sheriff says, well, we'll do an investigation to determine his accountability.
James, as you're talking, I'm just, it has come to my mind that he really took advantage of this Hispanic. I'm not too sure. Where did this happen? Is that Texas?
It was in Texas.
I'm not too sure if it would be this quiet had it been an African American. Now, granted, I don't know what the end result would have been, but I believe we would still be protesting if a white man had assaulted an African American. But then again, if it had been the same situation and he was inebriated and he urinated outside, then I think that they're going to use these excuses as justification. And Dee is right. They are justifying. They're the ones in power. They're the ones we're voting in. Even our African American people are cronies. And I know this doesn't sound nice. It's a lot of backroom monies exchanging hands. People we think we're putting into power to protect us are not doing it. I agree that the power is in the voting booth, but I think we've got to start looking and digging much deeper before we go into the voting booth to make sure we have people there who are really going to protect our interests.
Excellent.
George, let me ask you, all across the nation, people are arrested before they're found guilty. And we say they're innocent until found guilty, but they still get arrested because it is what we call probable cause. So how in the world couldn't have been probable cause if you beat a man and choked a man till he was unconscious, and then you and people were there who said that he was begged and told to stop and he refused to stop? What kind of investigation you need? You always investigate things beyond the original scene. But at the scene, people are arrested because it is more probable that they did something that was illegal. How does this man get to go home and go to bed and wait till the investigation is over?
Well, he shouldn't. And not only that, he shouldn't have even left the neighborhood. That's where our neighbors our community got to come together and make a stand. When you see somebody being beat like that, regardless of what the cause is, you need to stand up. You need to address it, and you guys can it can be addressed in units. I mean, in a group. You know, we got to get sick of them coming into our neighborhood, beating us up, killing us to death, and then walk out without being hurt or without even being scarred up or whatever. You send a message to one or two of them. You beat the hell out of them as a group. I guarantee you it'll stop. Not only that, we got cell phone. How come we couldn't take a picture of what happened here? Let your cell phone do the talking. And therefore, you got to push. You got to. We cannot just go by the law because they're not doing it by the law. So we got to do. We got to outthink them and outgroup them. And as far as putting these people in power, it used to be in the 60s, and I remember as a little kid. You know, the church. They discuss what's wrong with it, who we putting in power. You know, and besides that, even when I was working, they had their destiny. Our company. They would bring a politician in, and they would try to get us and encourage us to vote Republican. Now, this is what happens even in the workforce. So if this happens in the workforce, we got to start doing this in our church and in our community. We got to get together and say, this is who we need to put in office. This is who we need to run this ticket. This is who we need to get out there. And it's just going to force us to go back to the 60s and be involved. Right now, everybody's not involved. We're just sitting back. We're looking. We're waiting on the news and the whole bit. But we got to come together as a group now. That I think that's where we're moving to. It's a wake-up call, really.
And, Kathy, you and I both know all African-Americans are arrested all the time without the facts being known. And for this sheriff to say or refuse to suggest that what happened was criminal behavior on this white man who wasn't a police officer, who was a husband of a police officer, for him to think that he had the right to attack this man or to accost this man for doing something that was probably no more than a misdemeanor, and that the man, clearly the man was inebriated, and for the sheriff's department to not be willing to call the behavior criminal or put the man in custody, what kind of message does that send to white America that they can go around beating up blacks and Hispanics and not be even charged at the scene and get to go home and act like nothing happened?
I'm sitting here reading the article on it right now, James, and I'm surprised that the Hispanic community has not come out and began to protest regarding this. And what I'm thinking about as everybody is talking and just reading the article, this man already had some kind of vengeance that he was looking to issue out. He was already angry because there's no way in the world that you can begin to fight and beat someone and everybody around you is saying stop. It seems as though you regain your consciousness. You think to yourself, okay, you know, I gotta stop. But the way that it's written in this article is that, you know, he didn't have a hard art conscience. He just continued to just hit and hit and hit. So I'm very surprised that we are not hearing more about this because the Hispanic community usually comes together more when things like this happen. But, again, this is in Texas, so we don't really know what's going on now, but it's a sad situation.
And the deal is, again, we arrest people all the time who are not, who we clearly don't know what happens, but what kind of message are you sending when you don't even arrest this man? You let him go home and say, well, you'll send the investigation to the state attorney and he can decide whether or not he want to press charges. Police officers arrest people all the time and then they stay in jail until the charges are dropped or until They make bond. Why was this man treated so kindly, Regina? Why can't we expect the same thing they do to African Americans and police people? If we had if a black man had beaten a white man to death, he would not be going home.
Now, James, you know, now here's a problem that we have. We have short-term memory, and our long-term memory seems to be dead. Why shouldn't they have let this man go home when the boy killed 9 people, or 7? How many were killed in Charleston? 9 people.
9.
And went to Burger King? Okay. So it's not changing. It's getting worse. And we are forgetting. And unfortunately, we are forgetting when we go into those doggone voting booths or when it becomes election time, because I've already said, and I've made a stand, and I mean it. The person that I supported the last time will not get in back into office here in Columbia if I have anything to do with it. I'm going to protest against him with every fiber in my body because he grinned and he let us down. We do not have long-term memory, and I will not forget how he let down our community.
Yeah, you're so right, and that's what I'm saying. There is a bias afoot where you would show that teenager the kindness of stopping and getting him a hamburger, and I bet you there's probably not one person of color that got arrested and got to go buy Burger King before they went to jail, you know. And so too often they humanize white Americans when they do something atrocious, and they demonize us even as victims. Joyce, you know, it seems like we can't win no matter what.
You're right about that, and it's a shame because if you notice, for the last 4 days, I'm sick of Tiger Woods being in the news. You know, they're showing him at his worst. That it's just pathetic. You know, this is, you know, they want you to see that every day. Every day they're reporting this on the news over and over again. And, I mean, it ain't about nothing. He wasn't DWI. Okay, it's the medication and the whole bit. Okay, get over it. Because when these white boys mess up in the whole bit, it's only in the news for a split second, and you and being forgot about it the next day. It's not. But these black, anybody, minority, you're going to hear about it for a whole week. I'm sick of it every morning. It's on national news. It's on the morning news. It's on the night news. This is what is going on. Now, the reason why, you know, and I'm like you, Kathy, I'm surprised that the Mexican community hasn't spoke up. And the reason why they have not spoke up, because they're afraid to at this point because of all this immigration. Because they're so afraid that if they be in the spotlight, they're going to twist it so and find a way to say that even though they're legal, that they're illegal. That's what is holding them back from doing stuff. Because normally they're a strong group and they work together as one, and you don't come in nobody's neighborhood like that and treat a person like that in there. But now things have changed even in their neighborhood because they're so afraid. They're so afraid to kind of speak up for their brother or their sister because they're afraid that they're going to be deported because they got away. They know that the law got away of twisting things real good. So that's what they're afraid of. And it's a shame. We are in a scary situation, all the minorities grouped up into one.
Especially
now.
Especially in Texas, John.
And I think
that's
so important for us to come together and to act as a group and encourage even white females to recognize that we have to come together, because right now, when they're attacking Klan familyhood. What? How is it called?
Planned Parenthood.
And it seems to be that all aspects of minorities are being attacked. Let's take a break and come back and continue our conversation.
That we love to see. Every time we hear the music and feel this love together, we got the kind that lasts forever.
Shay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, you know, it is just amazing to me. You know, we have to speak up, and though this happened in Texas, we have to speak up and say something about it and hope to start some kind of movement, because it is one thing to hold police officers accountable for what they're doing in the streets, and for protecting us and not shooting and killing us. But we cannot allow white America to all of a sudden think it's okay for them to go around the country and to decide what rules are being broken and to intervene in a way that might cause the death of another individual. That is not the job of citizens to go out and to be policing African-American neighborhoods or any other neighborhood where they take law into their own hands. So it is just important for us to make a statement that the general public is not supposed to be taking law into their own hands. Now, it's one thing to stand up and protect innocent citizens like in Portland, but it's another thing to start beating someone to the point that they are unconscious and then suggest that they were the aggressor. And that's what happened in this particular situation. And so we need to really question where are we going to let people go and what we are going to allow them to do. And this seems to me to be Zimmerman all over again. And, in fact, I recently saw where he's back in jail for domestic violence again. Has anybody seen that? Regina, what are your thoughts about white America deciding that they're going to get along, start policing neighborhoods as well, and start deciding who lives and dies?
You know, I've got to say that one thing about the Fantastic Four Plus, we balance each other. So whereas I'm trying to be politically correct, I totally agree with Joyce. We've got to start standing up with each other and for each other. And he wouldn't have left my old neighborhood unscarred.
Hello.
He would not. My old neighborhood. Oh my. And then they would have had to have found and dug DNA or something to see who actually put a weapon on it. Because we would not have told.
Hey.
We would never have told. And would be so much DNA on them, it'd be all mixed up. They wouldn't know who to go get.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think we've become passive. I believe we have become, we've got to be educated and we've got to be smart, but we've got to stand strong.
Hello.
I think
we certainly
of the problem
can't allow. We certainly can't. Oh, go ahead, Joyce.
I was going to say, I think you're right about that, Regina, but a lot of us, educated and uneducated and the one who have made it, they tend to forget a little bit because I have to comment on this guy who they put on probation. I think he's with ESPN, but they need to fire his butt. I thought for sure he was white, but he was a brother. Can you imagine? Because he spoke negative about what LeBron stood up as a man and said about being no matter how much money you make, how much you do the best and whatever, you're still going to be treated very poorly because you're a minority. So that the reporter gets, and he's a brother, and I was just so stunned. But see, sometime when we make it, we get that who we are. You all, and sometimes we tend to think that it does not apply to us because, you know, you beyond that, see. And that's where we have an issue. We have gotten so complacent that sometimes when we get beyond and make it a little bit, we forget to bring up the rear end and also stay in the community where you don't forget where you come from, you know. So that's what has happened because you're right. Where my neighborhood, where I grew up in, ain't nowhere in the hell you're going to even come in the neighborhood. For number one, you're out of place. Don't get it twisted. You know, so no citizen arrest up in our neighborhood. No way. It doesn't work that way. And that's where we got to go back to. And I'm surprised, particularly in the Mexican neighborhood, that this has happened. But like I say, I think what is going on with them is a little shake up there. Everybody's afraid because, you know, their papers might not be right. Or if the papers are right, if they start squeaking a little bit, then they know that their situation is going to be bad for their family member or somebody who is not right. Think about it.
I think there's a feeling of being depressed, like you say, and that there's just a difference in treatment. I want to go on record. There is no way a black or Hispanic man could have beaten a drunk white man to his death and went home that night. You see what I'm saying? That's the mistreatment. We arrest people all the time and investigate later. Here they said they were going to do an investigation and then send it to the state attorney to determine if charges should be filed. All day, every day, police officers are making that determination, arresting people and sending them to jail, and they have to either get bonded out or they have to wait till trial. So why was this man treated so differently? One, because his wife was a police officer and he was a white American. So therefore, we just have to get real. There seems to be a mistreatment of people of color related to the incidents that are happening in our community. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back and have our final word.
Thinking back in time when love was only in my mind, I realized ain't no second chance. You got to hold on to romance, don't let it slide. There's a special kind of magic in the air when you find another heart that needs to share.
All right, this is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Kathy, I want to just tell you beforehand that I'm already in my mind tomorrow is Sunday, and that I will act accordingly on Sunday based on what you hear. So I'm going to try to remember that so that there is no mistake or any confusion related to what we should be hearing. Kathy, what is your final word this evening?
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Deshay. I hope you've got your playlist already for tomorrow. I'm excited about that, to hear what you come up with. And I'd just like to say vote. Stand up for your rights and vote.
And, Kathy, listen here. You ought to be screaming and hollering. You know, I always be trying to pay attention, and I'm telling you, I listen to more news all the time. I'm listening to news. Y'all did something exciting today in your legislature in terms of health care. Did you check it out?
No, James. You know I don't watch the news like that unless somebody tell me to turn it on.
Well,
I'm not looking at it.
You are supposed to be putting in place a one-payer plan related to health care. It is passed your Senate, I think, and it has to pass another body, and then it has to be signed by the governor. But they say California is already stepping out and is going to make health care available to all Californians.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. We need it, too.
That's right. I just saw that today. And, again, it has to pass another body and be signed by the governor. But it seems that you all are well on your way. Regina,
all
what
right.
is your final thought for today?
Vote.
So you're on the voting wagon, too, huh?
Vote and be aware. Be aware and let's stop being fooled by these grinning in your face at the time of voting politicians.
All right. Joyce, what is your final thought for today?
And I also like to add to that, and do not wait until it's time to vote. Just start being active and much vocal. We got to be vocal. We got to start speaking up. We got to start communicating. We got to put the cell phone and texting down and start communicating one-on-one, letting people know what you think, and so you can find out what they think so they can start communicating. And then once they start listening and we communicate instead of just reading a text, we hear what a person say, then we'll be able to digest something. And then this way it sparks things up in our mind. So we got to start communicating more and start being involved more. Thank you.
All right. Well, we are thankful again for all the support that we get from our fantastic four plus one. And we look forward to fighting the good fight. One of the things that you can't fight the good fight without having the information that you need. And certainly here on Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, we try to bring the information to the foresight so everybody can give their opinion related to what it is that is going on in our nation. Those of you who are out there in the audience, it is important that you get me your email address. You can email me at djames82@aol.com. Email me and give me your address or your number so that I can send you the issues that we're going to talk about beforehand. Again, my email address is djames82@aol.com. I can send you the things that we're going to be talking about before the show so that you'll have knowledge and you can have your opinion ready and prepared. We'll be on the show again tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock West Coast Time, and we'll be talking about the issues that impact our lives today and in the future. It is important that we speak loud and clear about the kinds of things that are going on in our communities, and we make sure that people know exactly what it is that we feel or we think about what's going on in our communities, our cities, our state, and our nation. It's time to fight back and not allow people to just run shotgun over us. I will see you guys tomorrow, as it's always important that we speak with one voice. Take care, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Turn off the light, light a candle, tonight I'm in a romantic mood, yeah, let's take a shower, shower together, I'll wash your body, wash mine, yeah. Love me down in some hot oil, baby, yeah. And I'll do the same thing to you. Just turn on the light. Come to me. Girl, I wanna give you a special treat. You're so sweet. Turn off the light and let's get closer. See, you're the only one in the world that I need. I wanna love you, love you all over. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Whisper sweet words of love in your ear. Show you how much I miss you, man. You're not there. Turn them on. Tonight I'm in sexy mood, ooh, ooh, baby. Girl, there's something that I wanna do to you. I wanna do to you, baby.